verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, and then verses 8 through 10. But the Tava, y'all working on the head count? Amen. Make sure I get a head count. Amen. Amen. Help them out, Reverend Lodge. Make sure we get a head count. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and then 8 through 10. The text says, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance.'" Verse 8 picks up and says, "He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." I want to talk again about Hannah's praise. Hannah's praise. I wonder, is it anybody in this room that knows that difficult people can be challenging to deal with? Anybody got any difficult people in your life? I mean, you know how to deal with them, but you would like to know how to deal with them like a Christian should. You can get them up off of you, but you want to know how to do it the way Jesus would be pleased with you doing. I'm here to tell you that God can handle the difficult people in your life. Dealing with difficult people was one of the issues raised in a recent questionnaire that they wanted the pastor to preach or teach about. And so today's sermon, next week's sermon, and next week's teaching at the 9:30 hour is my attempt to respond to that request. It would be helpful to understand some of the background of our text. Hannah is one of two wives. The other wife, you can read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm in chapter 2, but if you just bag up one chapter, you'll find out that the other wife had sons and daughters. And it was bad enough for Hannah to be barren in a land where the worth of a wife, if not a woman, was oftentimes measured by how many children she could bring into this world. But to make things worse, the other wife would always ridicule and pick at Hannah and talk about how she's barren. This thing got so bad for Hannah that she prayed earnestly to the Lord, begged the Lord, might be more accurate, "Lord, I want a child." And then God did what God does. He blessed her with a child, a son at that. The son's name was Samuel. The whole book is named after Samuel. And 2 Samuel is named after the same Samuel. You ought to know that in the original Hebrew, there was no 1 and 2 Samuel. The work was just so long, they decided to break it in half. And they called the first half 1 Samuel and the second piece 2 Samuel. But God provided this prophet figure, serves as a marvelous bridge between the last judge and the first king, Saul. In our text, 1 Samuel chapter 2, we see that Hannah has presented her son back to God, dedicated him to the service of the Lord, and she does it with praise on her heart. because she was a mother and this was Mother's Day, this looked like this work out pretty good. I pray it blesses you. What I'm trying to argue today is that we should rejoice about God's handling of the wicked and the saints. If you fall asleep, know that this is what I was talking about before you dozed off for me. We should rejoice about God's handling of the wicked and the saints. Now, the first thing I got to talk about is rejoicing in the Lord. I want you to catch that. Hannah is rejoicing, not in her son, not in her husband, not in her circumstances, but she is rejoicing in the Lord. How many of y'all know that God is still worthy of our praise? When your circumstances cannot be praised, you ought to always find some shouting material in the Lord. When you look at your life, you ought to tell the Lord thank you with great enthusiasm for family and loved ones. Now, it used to be a time when family and loved ones were almost synonymous. It was all about the same thing. But as a church family, we ought to understand that these two terms are not necessarily synonymous, mean the same thing anymore. There are some family members, we are stuck with them. How many of y'all know family is an involuntary relationship? You can't choose your brothers and sisters, cousins, nieces, and nephews. You're just kind of stuck with them. And sometimes they are not the most trustworthy. Sometimes they are not the most enjoyable company, but they are family. Somebody say amen. Amen. But when we talk about loved ones, these are people we enjoy being around. They give us energy. They pick us up when we're feeling low. We have a certain level of trust. We enjoy being around them. The church ought to pay attention because there are times when the church family is more of a family to the member than the person's biological family. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Everybody does not grow up in a saved family. People don't all come from Christian homes. If a person does not come from a saved family, a Christian home, it is not strange for them to find their fellow Christians at church closer, more enjoyable to be with because you share the same talk, you share the same walk, you share the same values, you're eating from the same spiritual diet. If you're not eating from the same spiritual diet, it's easy for us to stray apart. I'm telling us as a church family, the reason it's so important for us to be friendly and open to friendships and relationships is because for some, this is all that they have. That once they leave here, there's no other Christian that knows their name, that's praying for them, that's lifting them up, that's available to provide Christian counsel. So then if you have family, if you have loved ones, that's something to shout about. If you got a piece of a job, that's something to shout about. It is not strange to find people that's not all that excited about their job and what they do on the job, but I'm telling you, in this kind of economy, you ought to thank God for any piece of a job that you have. And if you don't have a job, but you're still eating, you ought to sure enough be shouting. Come on, talk back to me. If you are unemployed, but you can't remember the last time you missed a meal, we ought to have to tell you to be quiet. You should be shouting already. We ought to be calling you out of order because you done had breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, lights on, gas on, and you got a cell phone and don't have a job. Come on, man. You... In a way in the world, you ought to be sad as much as God has provided. You know the most funniest thing, and I'm going to get back to my sermon. The funniest thing I've seen is a homeless person shaking a cup, wanting some money, and his cell phone ring. Have you ever seen this? That's something altogether different. Listen, health If you got a piece of health, you ought to tell the Lord, thank you for some health and strength. When I was younger, I could not really appreciate why my elders would oftentimes tell the Lord, thank you for a piece of health and strength. But the older I get, the more I appreciate just having some health and strength. I've seen too many of my members work like a dog all of their life, thinking that one day I'm going to hang it up, I'm going to retire, and then I'm going to enjoy some of the fruit of my labor. And sure enough, they had enough money to retire, but they were so broke down, by the time they got there, they still couldn't enjoy the fruit of their labor. If you, now we, most of us, just about all of us, not gonna run no marathons. In fact, most of us don't even have enough energy to watch somebody run the whole marathon. But if you could just drag yourself up in here on today, you are blessed above many of thousand. If you don't think your health is good, I tell you what you do. Go up here to University Hospital or Good Samaritan Hospital, and you'll find some folk that really got something to complain about. If you got a piece of health and strength, you got something to be thankful for. If you got peace of mind, you have something to be thankful for. You know, I'm learning that there are some questions that God may never answer to my satisfaction, but he can give me peace with unanswered questions. I may never know why so much bad happens to children, babies. I may not understand. I may never understand. I may never be able to explain to a reasonable mind how it is God can have so much power and so much love and still earthquakes and typhoons and hurricanes and tsunamis and plagues and disease and some of everything wipe out thousands of people at a time. I may never understand that. I may never be able to explain that to a reasonable mind. But what I'm thankful for is God can give me peace with my unanswered questions. You know, there used to be a time that if I couldn't find the answer, then I couldn't sleep until I could find the answer. Well, I don't know if I have many more answers, but I have learned how to go to sleep, even with unanswered questions. That might be what the text means when he gives you peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't have peace with my understanding. I got peace that surpasses understanding. And I got it from the Lord. And then if you missed all of that stuff, something everybody in the room ought to be able to shout about is, I'm saved. I said, I'm saved. I can give God some praise. I can rejoice in the Lord because when this life is over, I have another home that's not built by the hands of people. I said, I'm saved. When I'm absent from this body, I shall be present with the Lord. Now, all of the golden streets and the pearly gates and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we just going to see how that's going to be. But I tell you the thing that's non-negotiable for me, I'm going to be with the Lord. I said, I'm going to be with the Lord. And I just got a feeling that when I'm with the Lord, I don't have to worry about eyeglasses. I don't have to worry about walking canes. I don't think I'm going to have acid reflux in this new body. I might get my hair back. I don't know, but that might be a stretch. That might be a stretch. But it's going to be all right when I get with the Lord. And then not only should we praise the Lord, but we ought to show enough praise him in his house. Hannah did not only praise God, but she praised God in God's house. Psalms 150 verse 1 talks about praise God in his sanctuary. Now, I want to be careful now. I don't want to suggest praise God in his house only. I think you ought to praise him in your house as well. You ought to praise him in your car. You ought to praise him in your shower. You ought to praise him on your job. You ought to praise him on your bus stop. You ought to praise him wherever you find yourself at, because you couldn't be where you're at had it not been for God's grace and mercy. But you ought to show enough, bring him some praise when you come into his house. And you ought not have to have a praise team to put you in a praise mood. You ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You ought to come into his courts with praise. Praise don't start in the sanctuary. It ought to start out in the parking lot somewhere. And when we bring it, you're going to find that it is therapeutic to your spirit. That is, the more I praise him, the better I feel. The more I brag on him, the better I feel. The more I look up, the more I feel up. It's hard to look up and feel down. I said it's hard to look up and feel down. Every time I look up, it reminds me there's a brighter day ahead. When I look down, I get discouraged, but when I look up, I am encouraged, because God has not brought me this far just to leave me now. The more I praise him, the better I feel. And then praise is contagious. That there's been times where I really didn't feel like praising him, but the choir helped me feel like praising him. The smiling faces I saw helped me feel like praising him. The prayer I heard helped me feel like praising him. Do you know spirits are contagious? That's why you need to bring your amen with you, because you never know who needs your amen, your praise the Lord, your thank you Jesus, your raised hand, your rock. You need to bring praise into this house so that others might be strengthened by the worship experience. But then Hannah did not just praise God in God's house, but she praised him with lip and life. You see, she didn't just sing a nice song. She brought her son to be dedicated, to be given to the service of the Lord. Can I remind you that Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16, Hebrews 13, 15, 16, says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name. That's lip stuff. You ought to, the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. But verse 16 says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, plural, God is pleased. Get it good now. Not only does God want to hear you say hallelujah, he want to see you live hallelujah. He don't want to just hear you say thank you Jesus. He wants you to live thank you Jesus. Praise ought to be a lip and life situation. Got to move along. Now, I wanted to tell you about praising the Lord. And one of the things we praise the Lord for is that he deals with the wicked. The text says that the Lord will shatter those who oppose him. Talks about how the wicked will be silenced in darkness, according to verse 9. In other words, no matter how big and how bad difficult people may be in your life, God can handle them. Somebody say amen. While the other person turn that phone off. Amen. God can handle. See how cool that was? I just flowed right on through that right there. God can handle wicked people. The text says, Psalms 37, 1 and 2. Psalms 37, 1 and 2. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Get it good now. No matter how much drama you have in your relationships, it might be baby's daddy's drama. It might be baby mama drama. It might be spouse or girlfriend. It might be parent, it might be sibling rivalry, it might be problems on your job, with your boss, with your coworker, with the next department. No matter what kind of relational drama you have, the preacher's telling you God can handle difficult people. If you got problems in your job, in your community, there's nothing too hard for God. Even politicians that have lied before elections and getting caught in lies after the election, don't fret. God still sits on the throne, and at the right time, in the right way, God knows how to set things back in order. Now, I've discovered folk always shout when we talk about how God handles the wicked, and wicked means somebody else. But I think I ought to tell you, God handles all of the wicked, even if we find ourselves in the number of those who are wicked. Thus, you ought to be asking yourself, self, are you one of the wicked? The answer to that question is not found in what you intend to do. The answer to the question of wickedness is, what do you actually do? We always give ourselves a pass because of our intentions. But I'm here to tell you, God judges us by our fruit. And so then, what makes us wicked are two things. Are you listening? First of all, it is what we do wrong. Everybody says amen to that. You can't go out here and murder a person and then be offended that somebody called you wicked. You can't get caught in several lies and be offended that somebody called you wicked. We know about the wickedness of doing wrong. What we behave as if we have forgotten is that there are also sins of omission. We know about sins of commission, but the preacher is telling you it's a whole nother list called the sins of omission. James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Get it good now. You can get in trouble with God because you've done bad, and you can also get in trouble with God because you have not done the good that you should do. Let me just put this in your lap. When you don't live up to the church covenant and don't even try, that's sin. When you rob God of his tithes and offerings, that's sin. When you fail to give your best in service, that's sin. And the good news is, if you can just be honest with your sin, you don't have to perpetrate, you don't have to camouflage, you don't have to try to act like something that you're not. The book said if we would just confess our sins, God is faithful, God is just, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all iniquity. The best thing you can do if you know you're getting slapped upside the head right now is to just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me do better. Worst thing you can do is make ugly faces at the preacher as if that's going to make him shorten the sermon. That makes the sermon longer. If you're wrong, just tell the Lord, I'm sorry. Help me get myself together. Finally, Hannah did not only praise the Lord, not only did her lyrics include her confidence that God would handle the wicked, but finally, her praise included her confidence that God would handle the saints. The book says that the Lord will raise the poor from the dust, lift the needy from the ash heap. He guards the feet of the saints, says he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Now, I think we're going to all enjoy the end of the sermon, but I really want to make sure we're not shouting on credit. God has many blessings for the saints. But you really ought to make sure you are a saint. You can come to church without being a saint. You can have church clothes without being a saint. You can give all kinds of money to the church. Moore, help this brother out of here. MacArthur, McCanty, help this brother. Trust in the Lord. In your cousins. I'm gonna see God for myself. I'm gonna see God. I'm gonna see God. Yes, I'm gonna see God. I'm gonna see God. Yes, I'm gonna see God. Amen. Now, what was I saying before I was rudely interrupted? Hannah was praising the Lord. And part of her praise was how she trusted the Lord to handle the wicked people in her life. She did not stress about it. She learned how to make her way to the house of the Lord and trust the Lord to make everything all right. Part of her praise also included God's dealing with the saints. I was trying to get you to see, you better make sure you are a saint. You can be up in church and obviously not be a saint. You can have church clothes, not be a saint. You can give all kinds of money to the church and not be a saint. You can be a great singer, great preacher, great prayer without necessarily being a saint. Well, Reverend, what does it mean? What does it take to be a saint? Well, the Hebrew word here is talking about somebody who has a personal relationship with God. Question then becomes, how can I have a personal relationship with the Lord? Well, that's a Jesus situation. You have to ask and trust God to save you because Jesus paid it all. That's so good to me, I gotta say it one more time. You gotta ask and you have to trust God to save you. Not because you came to church, not because you got baptized, not because you didn't stop smoking, stop drinking, stop chasing. Lord, save me because Jesus paid it all. I got good news for you. If you could just accept Jesus as your Savior, you can make it onto the saints list. The reason you want to make sure you are a real saint, it's because there's all kinds of blessings for those who belong to the Lord. You see, we have hope in God. No matter how bad things may look in your life, God can be trusted to work things out for your good. Get it good now. No matter how much trouble you may have in your family, if you just keep your hope in the Lord may not come when you want him. But if you just hold on just a little while longer, he will come, and he'll come with the right stuff. No matter how funny your money may be today, if you just keep your hands in the master's hands, God will work things out for your good. No matter what the doctors may have told you, if you just keep your hands in the master's hands, he has a long track record of doing what seems impossible. Did you hear what I said? I heard Abraham say that God is able to give you an Isaac. And Isaac was saying that God is able to give you a Jacob. And Jacob would tell you that my God is able to bless you with 12 sons. And 12 sons turned into 12 families. And 12 families turned into 12 tribes. And 12 tribes turned into the nation of Israel. Just like my God said. Can I get a witness? I'm trying to tell you that no matter how bad things look, you can always lean and depend on the Lord, because God, he specializes in things that seem so impossible. But I got to tell you this part here. When God gets ready to move, he moves so oftentimes through people. Oh yes, he does. And I think I ought to tell you, when God moves through people, he's not restricted to just the preacher. The text says that God gives strength to his king. And I'm glad about that, because even though God can use the priest, and God can use the prophet, God can also use the king. Did you hear what I'm saying? David was not a priest nor a prophet. David was a king, but still a man after God's own heart. Did you hear what I said? Solomon was not a priest nor a prophet, but he was a king. Oh yes, he was. Even Nehemiah wasn't so much a prophet nor a priest, but he was an official under the king. Get it good now. God is not restricted to the church. The church is in the world, and God owns the whole world. Psalms 24
Verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So when God get ready to bless you, be aware, it may not come from just the preacher. God can use the mayor. God can use the governor. God can use the police officer. God can use the school teacher. God can use the lawyer. God can use the medical doctor. God can use the plumber. God can use the electrician. God can use the secretary. God can use the janitor. That's why you gotta be careful how you treat people. You never know how the Lord is gonna move in your life. God can use the bus driver, and God can use the princess that's sitting right next to you on the bus. God can use the person you pass when you get off the bus. I wish I had a witness here. You never know how God is going to move in your life. And so time to come in here now, but I tried my best to get you to sing. Yes, there may be difficult people all in your life, but don't worry about it. Don't fret yourself. Just learn how to praise your way through. I wish I had a witness here. Just learn how to praise the Lord in spite of what you see. He's able to handle the wicked. He's able to lift the saint. Make sure and very sure that you are on the right side on the sermon. You don't want to be on the wicked side. Come on over on the saint side. Jesus is waiting with arms wide open. Jesus is waiting with arms wide open. Today's a good day to tell the Lord, I'm sorry for all of my shortcomings. I'm sorry for all of my flaws. Please, look and have mercy. I'm a living witness. The Lord can't stand to hear his children cry. The Lord will show enough. Come see about you. Can I get a witness? Is anybody here ever had to call on my Lord? Called on him show enough. Have tears ever had to shake hands under your chin? Have you ever had to call him with a trembling in your voice? Won't he come and wipe the tears from your eyes? Won't he come and give you joy, an exceeding joy? Won't he come and give you peace that surpasses all understanding? I'm telling you what I know. He may not come when you want him, but hold on just a little while longer. Just hold on a few more. Rising and setting of yonder sun. Let me tell you what he will do. He will show up. He will come by. Oh! yes, sir. He will make a way out of no way. Tell you what I know. He will make your enemies stumble and fall. He will make ways that can't nobody close up. He will lock doors of danger. Can't nobody open the door. God, he will fix it. If you don't give up on God, God won't give up on you. I need a witness. My time is gone. I know y'all trying to eat, but I need a witness up in here. Ever tried my Lord? Has anybody tried him? And know he will come. Just reach over and tell about three neighbors. He will come. 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 And he'll make a way out of nowhere at all. You can trust God. When people let you down, when the preacher let you down, when life let you down, when you let yourself down, you can trust God to still work things out for the benefit, for the good of those who belong to him. The only way to belong to him is you got to accept Jesus. If you get Jesus in your life, he'll help you with the rest of the stuff on the list. But you need Jesus in your life, because as long as you keep on living, there's going to be some wicked folk plucking your nerves. But if you get Jesus in your life, he can give you some strength to make it through troubled water. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, my sister, my brother, you ought to come now. If you know you need the Lord in your life, if you know you need to get yourself in church, you ought to step out in the aisle and come on right now. No matter how jacked up you think your life may be, God loves you and has a marvelous plan for your life. There's so much more to you than what has happened in your past. I dare you to just give God a chance with your life. You may have just come to get mom off your back. But I'm telling you, you're going to need the Lord in your life. You're already here. If you know you need to come, just step out an hour. Come on, right here, right now. You don't have to fix anything. Just as you are. You ought to come. Man, woman, boy, or girl.